go. Head on to Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Monday on the No, it's not, is it? Tuesday. I was playing medical hooky yesterday. And, you know, thank you for all the well wishes. Email, Facebook, Twitter. Thanks. Much appreciated. Nothing serious. It's just a matter of getting something carved out of my hide that badly needed carving. And it's in one of those places where you just can't really get comfortable. Now, don't let your imaginations run away. It's right down there in my lower back on the flank just below the short ribs. But no sleeping well, no sitting well, no everything just... But all will be well in the end, I'm quite certain. But we didn't have a Moran Monday yesterday, and I hate it when we don't have a Moran Monday. I like Moran Monday. It's a chance to get a... Yeah, exactly, Sparky. I don't even like the word. It just sounds icky. But anyway, and so does sebaceous.
Ugh.
But anyway... I think we're going to have Moran Monday a day late. Because just looking around at what I had ready for yesterday, and in turn what has come along today, God, there are Morans around here like a freaking mayfly hatch. You just... swat and keep swatting, and the Morans just keep coming. Of all shapes and sizes, all stripes, all varieties, yeah. And by the way, before we do jump into the meat of things, I wanted to thank you and let you know that from Thursday to today, you guys actually managed to take care of what, well, the hole's not as bad as it was. Not the one in the roof, the one in the Horn's treasury. Treasury. reminds me of the Casper the Ghost's treasure in that utterly forgettable movie. It was a baseball glove. But anyway, no, we're significantly better off. If you count from the beginning of May forward, we've taken care of Monday through Thursday of last week, so that only leaves us Friday, yesterday, and today, and we'll be up to speed. So that's 18. We need 18 thrifty 250 contributors of $10 apiece. And thank you for those of you who did contribute today. You took care of, all by your lonesomes, about two and a half of those days. So if you can help the PayPal button, headonradionetwork.com. All help is much appreciated because it's what keeps all of this going. I got the phone call from the power company today. That's always a joy. And yeah, let me pay for some more of that inflated cheap coal electricity. And cheap coal and electricity is in the news today. A Moran nomination, without a doubt. Moran Tuesday just doesn't quite have the ring, does it? But I want to share a press release with you from Peabody Energy. I wish I felt as good about Peabody Energy as I feel about Mr. Peabody. Sherman set the Wayback Machine for the Cretaceous era so we can pick up all of this dead ferns and moss and goop and stuff and make sure there won't be any damned coal. But no. This is a statement from Peabody Energy. See, just everybody, turn on your Orwellometers and tell me how many clicks you get on the Orwelloscope, or if you're doing it audibly, the Orwellotron. This is a real bit of text from a real Peabody Energy press release. Peabody is proud to help hundreds of millions of people live longer and better through coal-fueled electricity. A growing collection of studies demonstrate the correlation between electricity fueled by low-cost coal and improvement in health, longevity, and quality of life. The United Nations has linked life expectancy, educational attainment, and income with per capita electricity use. And the World Resources Institute found that for every tenfold increase in per capita energy use, individuals live 10 years longer. Yeah, I don't know about you, but my Orwelloscope is just beep, beep, beep. Well, okay, that was the Orwellotron. You'll have to trust me on the Orwelloscope because this is radio and the Orwelloscope is visual. Why did they do that? Well, they did that because those rotten, filthy bastards at Peabody Energy and everybody who works for them got their asses stone-cold punked today. Want to see how? If you haven't already. Go to... I first heard about this from Sandra going, "Hey, Bob, what the... This isn't real, is it?" And for a minute I looked at it and I thought, "My God, it is." They're just... the coal industry is just that filthy clueless. But no, this is the work of the Yes Men, or actually an offshoot of the Yes Men. They've actually... The Yes Men have been so successful that they have begun a Yes Men prank incubator. Well, you try saying it, Yes Men prank incubator, and see if you do any better, okay? Thank you. A website went up called coalcares.org, featuring things like the Kids Coal Corner. That's KIDZKOAL. Does it say KORNER? It better not. That would be KKK. Oh, it does! The Kids Coal Corner, the KKK for fun and games. But the heart and soul of this brilliant prank, which compelled Peabody Energy to say, "Peabody is proud to help hundreds of millions of people live longer and better through coal-fueled electricity." Yes, Homer. What caused them to have to issue a press release was the fact that media all over the world were calling Peabody Energy today to ask them about their new program of the puff inhaler. Problem: inhalers are stigmatized. Today, thanks to Peabody, there's finally something parents can do to help asthmatic children show others who's cool at school. With Puff Puff designer inhalers, easing a taunted child's burden of suffering has never been easier or more economical. Sign up below to get your child's first inhaler free and use this coupon worth $10 towards the cost of the asthma medication itself. Every order comes with a free charcoal pencil and is made from sustainable, eco-friendly, recycled plastic. Yeah, let's see. My first inhaler with the old ducky on it. And Dora the Explorer and Elmo and My Little Pony inhalers and Batman inhalers and SpongeBob SquarePants inhalers and Miley Cyrus inhalers and Twilight inhalers, Harry Potter inhalers and the punk emo inhaler and the Bieber for that Bieber fever fan in your family. You know, the asthmatic get a little worked up and they have to hit the, and they can get especially worked up when they're like 14 years old or so and they're just all about Justin Bieber. Well then, well Justin can help them with their asthma. And you realize, of course, why this is. It turns out that this brilliant piece of prankery was conceived and executed in part by a pediatrician. Because she sees the true cost of coal in her office every day. The leading cause of asthma in the world is the burning of coal. And I don't care how many things that the Peabody notes. Millions of people live longer and better through coal-fueled electricity. No. 26,000 Americans, that's just this country, 26,000 Americans die every year just from breathing coal filth. And that's not just in Appalachia. That's wherever coal is burned, all over these United States. Peabody Energy is a global leader in clean coal solutions. No such thing. It's an advertising slogan. That's why it's on the PR wire. And is advancing more than a dozen clean coal projects. Replace clean coal with advertising slogan. See how it sounds. And is advancing more than a dozen advertising slogan projects around the world, leading to our ultimate goal of near zero emissions from advertising slogan coal. Now, why would this be happening right now? Well, I certainly can, I can help you with that. Because you see, I don't know if you're signed up for the I Love Mountains emails, but if you're not, you should be. Go to ilovemountains.org and they will keep you up to date. Last week, there began a series of hearings in the House of Representatives, because now it's being run by John Boehner and his drunken cronies and with his right-hand man, Eric Leave Brittany Alone Cantor. It's not the House of Representatives anymore because it lacks any fundamental dignity. It's the House of Representatives. It's straight out of Idiocracy. South Carolina's in the House! Yeah, they're holding hearings, one last week, one this week, tomorrow as a matter of fact, called EPA Mining Policies, Assault on Appalachian Jobs. That's what I mean about the no dignity part. Because if this was a real House of Representatives hearing, it would be EPA responses to the Appalachian apocalypse and the assault on Appalachian lives. So the preliminary hearing was held last Thursday. It was a witch hunt. There was no one there to give the affected community response. There was no one there to offer any sort of, what's that word? That Blanche Manchin, my junior senator, likes to use so much. Balance. There was no balance. Just unmitigated industry propaganda and a hateful grilling of EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. So, okay, they did that Thursday. Okay. So the Democrats on the committee said, well, you know, can we have some of our witnesses, please? Please? Because, you know, if the Repiglicans were in the minority and they said, by God, you let us have some of our own witnesses or we'll beat you to a bloody pulp and call you liberal or something. Well, the Democrats would naturally say, well, call as many as you want. That's fine by us. I mean, I remember when they had a hearing in the Senate a couple of years ago. Agnes and I went up for it, and so did the whole fam-damily. What happened? Well, Randy Huffman from the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, Department of Environmental Prostitution, Protection, was allowed to testify at length about how clean coal was clean. Made a genuine idiot of himself to anybody who was paying attention, but then again, you know, it's from coal. They got theirs in. Us, not so much. Every slot in the hearing tomorrow, four of them, will feature four more individuals who think the best thing that could possibly happen in Appalachia would be to blow up every goddamn mountain that's got a fleck of coal underneath it. And then there'll be one token person from the EPA there to get blistered by mean Repiglicans. Now, if you want to, feel free, please, to go to ilovemountains.org. And there is a subheader there called hearing-inequality, ilovemountains.org, hearing inequality. And you can sign a petition telling the chairman of the committee that Appalachian citizens deserve a voice in these hearings, too. At least while we still have one, because they are slowly but surely killing us off. ilovemountains.org/hearing-inequality. Maybe it'll do some good. I don't know. Did raising a public ruckus do any good with Peter King when he was having Why All Muslims Are Bad hearings a couple of months ago, a month ago, whatever it was? No, they don't want any hard science from scientists who can tell you the human impact of mountaintop removal. No, don't want those. They don't want a Maria Gonneau who can talk about having had her very life threatened by thugs from the coal industry. Don't want that. They don't want Bo Webb there who could tell them and stare them straight in the eye till those Repiglicans piss themselves about what it's like to live underneath one of these nightmare operations and have clouds of dust and debris and poisonous filth drift over you. No, they don't want Bo Webb there. Basically, they want to sing the coal version of Home on the Range, where never is heard a discouraging word and the skies are sooty all day. ilovemountains.org/hearing-inequality. You never know, one of you might actually have a member of Congress on the committee. This prank job was beautiful. Among other things, among other things, it contains a statement on solar energy and wind power. And the wind power part kind of grabbed me because, if I recall correctly, somebody in the chat room last week was talking about right-wingers, and whoever you are, like, hold your hand up so I can, you know, because this is like romper room, and I can see you out there. Hold your hand up or say something in the chat room if you're there. somebody was saying something about the fundies declaring that the tornadoes in Alabama were caused by wind turbines. Well, apparently, this offshoot of the Yes Men picked up on it from the punk press release. Every science student has heard of the so-called butterfly effect from aptly named chaos theory, namely that the flapping of a butterfly's wings in the wilds of Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, can set off a massive community-shattering tornado in Bunker Hill Village, Texas. If, as scientists state, a mere butterfly can cause a tornado so many thousands of miles away, imagine what a hill full of wind turbines can do. Actually, a simple... Let's see if I can do my James Mason. Actually, a simple calculation shows... Nah, it's not really James Mason, is it? But I like the voice anyway. A simple calculation shows precisely how much. Suppose a butterfly flapping its wings, producing about 12.5 watts of energy, can unleash a tornado producing approximately 100 megawatts of energy. By this measure, a large wind farm producing 781.5 megawatts of energy, or the equivalent of approximately 63 million butterflies, could unleash the equivalent of 63 million tornadoes, or over 6 quadrillion watts of energy. That's still less than 1/100 millionth the energy of an asteroid hitting the Earth, but it's nothing to sneeze at either. That's the wind turbine part. Then there's the solar part. Brilliant, brilliant. Huge, huge kudos to a group called Coal is Killing Kids, CKK. A little bitty environmental and public health group that has decided to play David to Big Coal's Goliath. Veronica Tomlinson is a pediatrician. She's also a member of CKK. They worked with Yes Lab that I told you about, an incubator to help activist groups carry out media savvy creative actions on their own. Here's the solar part. Remember how we were talking about how when a solar installation goes down, there's a huge sunshine spill? This is like that. So-called solar energy, on the other hand, refers to the direct use of the violent fusion reactions occurring deep within our nearest star. As you might expect, this kind of solar energy naturally comes with a host of dangers that Cole's million-year buffering is designed to avoid. Some scientists refer to so-called solar energy as mainlining the sun, and it doesn't take an Einstein to see an overdose looming. There are so many varieties of existing solar energy technology, and so many more proposed, that the number and variety of disasters possible simply boggles the mind. The only reason we don't see more incidences of death and injury from solar today is because it comprises less than 1% of our national energy portfolio. Increasing this amount would only heighten the potential for tragic accidents. Brilliant. Simply brilliant. And the timing was perfect. Because tomorrow there will be a shameful dog and pony show in Washington, D.C., in which the Republican members of the majority should just as well show up in, I don't know, platform shoes, feather boas, and bustiers, with bare midriffs and short skirts and fishnet hose. because they are little more, and no insult intended to hardworking people in the sex industry, they are little more than cheap, tawdry prostitutes. Oh, it was Jim. It was Jim. Thank you, Jim. Could bird bat wings create a tornado? Jim is ahead of the curve. Oh, okay. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. Not James Mason. I think that's the late, great Richard Harris. Wonder what the king... No. See? I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting evening. Because we start with that, and we go from there to something that's very much real. Now, just sort of chew on this for a minute. We have to go to Florida again. As Juanita noted the other night, Florida is getting loopier by the minute. And their governor, Rick Scott, with whom they are saddled for the next 3.5 years, because they can't recall him. This guy is going sprayed roach crazy, trying to implement the right-wing agenda. I told you that Coal is Killing Kids, CKK, was the originator of this prank against Peabody Energy and the coal industry in general. If chaos theory is correct and the flapping of one butterfly's wings can affect an outcome, then I can only hope that the flapping of one liberal internet radio talk show host's gums can do the same thing. Is anybody out there paying attention to the NRA? Or the state of Florida with a pranky sort of mindset? Because this one's sort of begging for it. I love satire and parody because satire and parody, when done right, is an it's already in and past the ribs and into the viscera before the victim of the satire and the parody, pardon the eliminationist language there, knows they've been cut. Just like Peabody there. All right, this is disturbing. I have to warn you now. See, this is what happens when I talk about coal-fired electricity. The power goes out, just like when I talk... Well, I won't talk about any of the other stuff because I don't want any other stuff to go down. Stand by a moment. Okay, all better now. Anyway, Rick Scott is losing his mind. And I mentioned to you that CKK, her name was Dr. Tomlinson, and she treats children sickened by coal because, you know, she's a pediatrician. And asthma is a scourge and something approaching epidemic, if not pandemic, proportions in the United States. And it's almost not exclusively. I won't lie to you. But it is caused in statistically noteworthy, significant part by the burning of coal for electricity. And, you know, when Dr. Tomlinson sits down to find out why little Johnny can't breathe, she has to ask certain questions. When did it start? How does it happen? At rest or at play? You know, there's a difference between getting an energetic little child getting winded from running too hard and standing still and not being able to breathe. It's called taking a history. Well, interestingly enough, the Repiglicans, led by Rick Scott in Florida,
Yeah, you know, the Repiglican party that wants to get government off our backs, and yet at the same time wants to be right there hovering over a gynecologist's shoulder while a woman is in the stirrups. Gonna eliminate them some big government. By the way, there's a great post of a couple of days back over at crooksandliars.com. Our good friend Matt Osborne, who has been covering, as he mentioned on the program, and it's kind of like going to the circus, really. Everything but the cotton candy and the candy apples. Those they sub in the gin and OxyContin for on Goat Hill in Alabama. He's been covering the Alabama legislature. And he's got a post at Crooks and Liars over the last couple of days called Big Government Republicans. You need to see that there's video. Oh, there's video. And it's really delight in a sick sort of way. Well, there's big government Republicans in Florida, too. Big government Republicans who, of course, hate big government unless they're doing the bidding of somebody. You get the idea. And big government Republicans in Florida have decided that they are concerned with how pediatricians take a history from mama or daddy in the process of administering what is called the standard of care for little Johnny and little Susie. You know, things like, well, let me ask you this. Do you have a swimming pool at your home? Well, yes, we have a swimming pool. Well, we need to talk about your swimming pool and how you allow little Timmy and little Susie. Little Johnny's middle name's Little Timmy. Little Johnny, Little Timmy. Yeah, right. It's Florida. They just call him Johnny Tim for short. Well, we need to make sure that swimming pool's the child-proof, so you don't walk out one morning and finding him doing the William Holden in the deep end, okay? You know, is he sneezing and he's scratching a lot, is little Johnny Tim? You got a wet basement? You got some black mold going on there? Got a cat? Dog? Bird? Fish? These aren't invasions of privacy. These are the actual, no kidding, practice of pediatrics. And largely the practice of medicine. Do you smoke? Do you drink your gin through a straw? That kind of thing. Because differential diagnosis in medicine, and I am no doctor and I don't play one on the radio, and I'm more than willing to be corrected if somebody's got greater experience than I. I think our chat room moderator Lottie has worked in that field rather intimately. He might be familiar with diagnostics. But differential diagnostics involves the notion that the more information you have, the better off you are, right? Not in Florida. Not in Florida. Now, there's a lot of swimming pools in Florida. And it's okay for a pediatrician to ask little Johnny Tim's parents if they've got a swimming pool. Do you have a four-wheeler? You can ask that question because, you know, there's a lot of children injured and killed on four-wheelers. It's either the first or second leading cause of death in West Virginia for kids 16 and under. No kidding. Suicide, four-wheelers. Two leading causes of death. So, yeah, you can ask about the four-wheeler.
Mommy, do you smoke? Daddy, do you smoke? Well, chances are your kid's going to smoke if you don't quit. Need to quit for yourself and for them. For little Johnny, Tam, and Susie, you need to quit. And this is all the reasonable and rational practice of medicine. But there is one place where medicine dare not go. Wow, did you hear that thunder? Did that come through? We're having a real humdinger. We've got no kidding, there is a circus downtown to the extent that we're 2 miles from here is a town. We've got a circus down there tonight. I imagine the camels are having a hemorrhage right now. Camels, thunderstorms, I don't think the two go together, but, never mind. I was kind of hoping to go tonight and go down and see if I could ask one of them, please tell me, you know, the hundredth word for the name of God is irony, right? Yeah, it'll be, oh my God, I bet it's raining in the bedroom right now. No, there's one thing that a doctor may not, by law. Because remember, we started off this conversation talking about big government Republicans. By law, very soon, Governor Rick Scott will sign into law a bill unlike any other, anywhere, in the United States. And that law will forbid a pediatrician from asking parents. Well, hell's bells, that's hail. Agnes, I don't think y'all are going to the circus tonight. Sound like they're about the size of canned hams. As a function of law, in the state of Florida, a pediatrician may not ask a pair of parents whether or not they own firearms or have firearms in the home. Because you see, down there in Tallahassee, Florida, the National Republican Rifle Association has lobbyist named Marion Hammer. Now, come on. Was that a name change after Marion got hired, or is that just sort of the universe directing itself in its own logical fashion? Marion Hammer is the NRA's lobbyist in Tallahassee, and Marion Hammer says asking a parent whether or not there are firearms in the home where a child lives, well, that's a violation of our Second Amendment rights. We take our children to pediatricians. Oh, she's a she.
We take our children to pediatricians for medical care, not moral judgment, not privacy intrusions. This bill is about helping families who are complaining about being questioned about gun ownership and the growing anti-gun political agenda being carried out in examination rooms by doctors and staffs.
I wish I was making that up. I wish that was as phony and made up as the punk job that was done on Peabody Energy today. But it ain't. It's real.
There's a growing anti-gun political agenda being carried out in examination rooms by doctors and staffs. Dadgum, it sounds like the turret of Frankenstein's castle around here right now.
How's a guy supposed to think? This is where that soundproofing would have come in handy. Sound like cannon shot. Am I under a tornado warning or anything? I would kind of like to know, and I don't have the Weather Channel up and going. If I hear a freight train, I'm freaking out of here, you hear? I'll yell freight train and I'll boogie. Seriously, though, in Florida, you can ask, do you have adequate hurricane protection? Do you know what to do in case a hurricane comes ashore? You can ask that question, but you cannot ask. You cannot ask Mayella and Billy Bubba whether or not they got loaded firearms in the house. Or unloaded. Just firearms. You got firearms in that. Nope, can't do it. Meanwhile, for every 100,000 people in Florida, there are 12.5 firearm-related deaths. But we can't ask. We can't ask little Johnny Tim's mama, Bubba Clyde, and May Eller whether there's guns in the home. Because you know what? The Second Amendment to the Constitution is more important than any little diaper-wearing, puff-puff inhaling rug rat in this country. Our forefathers fought and died for that there Second Amendment. And that little yard ape ain't a-gonna step on my rights to keep a loaded gun where he can get at it and blow his little two-year-old brains out. 'Cause that's what Jeebus said when he done give us the constipation. You know, I reference this thing from time to time, and this is a good time to remind you to go and reread that piece at The Onion. Man is passionate defender of Constitution that exists only in his imagination. What's next? Start asking, do you got any guns in the house? Well, then them old bomber goon squads can come along and take away your children and your guns and send them to a re-education camp and teach them ballet and shit. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Checking the email. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, abortion advice clinics. You might want to mention the above groups in the 3-day sessions run by non-medical folks. Well, that's another case of those big government Republicans who want to get big government out of your life unless they want to get big government into your life. Now, looky there. See there? See there? Looky there, May Eller. See that little thing look like a tadpole? Yeah, May Eller, I know you put it on. That's what you put on the end of your hook when you're going after crappie. I know. But May Eller, that's your baby. That little tadpole, that's your baby. But don't worry, May Eller. If you decide to have that there little tadpole, well, I ain't going to ask you. If it turns out that you keep an AR-15 or an AK-47 under your sofa cushion there with the safety off in case the Obama education goons come. 'Cause we live in them, and they ain't free in the rest of America like we is here in Florida. And you know what Thomas, was it Jesus or Thomas, one of them said, from time to time the tree of Christian liberty must be watered with the blood of toddlers. That's what it says right there in the Constitution, and that's why we're going to stay free right there in the state of Florida. I told you. I told you. Morons like a mayfly hatch today. Ah, thank you, David in Tennessee.
It's purple right over you, Bob. There's three or four more purple cells on the way. My weather page has warning up for your locale.
Well, this ought to be fun.
And our buddy Joe Ray writing in. Fact. Subject line, fact, fiction.
Yo, Bob. People trying to sell the butterfly effect as science fact is why functioning civil societies have free and compulsory K through 12 education. 1 year of high school physics would eliminate this silliness from the public discourse. The average person may never remember how to apply the equations from physics, but they would probably remember that waveforms tend to cancel and degrade each other the further they travel. The same goes for every single health and environmental problem. Hell, if every citizen had a real high school education, we'd be living on a clean planet. By the way, chaos theory is used to predict things like when your faucet will drip when it is between a steady stream and off, real observable events, not fiction. Anyways, I'm off to stimulate the economy with my federal subsidies. Get stimulating, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, see, it doesn't even dawn on these dummies that there's more wind behind a turbine that only turns when there's wind going through it. More wind behind a turbine than there is in front of it. Nope, nope, it's just like that Winder fan. Just like that Winder fan I got. That's the case, Mr. Smarty Pants, the intellectual elitist. How come it gets cooler in my room when I turn the fan on, huh? And thank God I can. Because I damn sure couldn't run no fan off no solar, because solar's hot and fans are cool. That's why I'm proud to be American. Or at least I know I'm free. Hallelujah. Well, there's so much out there. So much to cover. Florida pass a law about this one, maybe? Because that big government's on your back again. Makers of over-the-counter medicines for kids. This via NPR. Have agreed to stop producing infant-only liquid painkillers containing concentrated acetaminophen. Why? Because it's possible to make a baby in the crib's liver look like a 60-year-old gin-yipping golfer's golfing drunk's liver. Some painkilling drops for infants contain as much as 80 milligrams of acetaminophen per milliliter. Acetaminophen liquids for older children typically contain 32 milligrams per milliliter. So what, the smaller they are, the more we're going to dose them? So they're going to cut the dose down so that we'll roast the liver more slowly. See, there you are. There you are again. More at big government on our backs telling us how to raise our churns. Livers? Our kids don't need no stinking livers. What they need to learn how to do as quick as they can handle one is to squeeze off a few rounds. Start them off with maybe a small gauge, maybe a little 410 shotgun when they about when they walk in. A little 22 rifle. And go from there. You know what? If a baby can say, pull! That's a sweeter word to me than him saying daddy. Oh, the stupid, it hurts. It aches. It burns. It stings.
I had to be on the road today. Agnes and I went down the mountain. That's proving to be an expensive proposition. The driving part, not taking Agnes with me. It's not one of those Jane Jetson, you know, things with the wallet, no. So we're toddling down, you know, the radio. I'm a radio guy, and I turn it on. Glenn Beck on the radio has finally found Charleston, West Virginia. And I heard him opining about the flight in Tennessee over the weekend. I'm sure you saw this. A pair of Muslim leaders forcibly removed from an aircraft, a commercial air flight in Memphis, and were told it was because the pilot refused to fly with them aboard. Masudur Rahman is an adjunct instructor of Arabic at the University of Memphis. Well, see, there's your problem. What do we got a fine institution like the University of Memphis teaching Arab? He and another imam had already been allowed to board their Delta connection flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then were told to get off the plane. Transportation Security Administration said they didn't start it. They were cleared by security agents. They boarded the plane for an 8:40 a.m. departure. Rahman said he was dressed in traditional Indian clothing, and his traveling companion was dressed in Arab garb, including traditional headgear. Lost the headgear. So they left the gate, and then the captain announced that they were going back to the gate. And they asked the imams to go back to the boarding gate, and they were told that the pilot refused to accept them because some other passengers could be uncomfortable. Later, they flew on to Charlotte without incident. Well, by the time that Glenn Beck is babbling about this earlier today, he has his knuckle-walking, house helmet-wearing, knee and elbow pad festooned, gave up on the shoelaces and went for the Velcro tabs wearing, faithful, believing that the two were standing in the middle of the aisle screaming Allahu Akbar. No, really. And use that. Now, did you see how we kind of seamlessly went from the coal story into the handgun story in Florida? That's called a segue. Well, Glenn Beck's segue was from a pair of screaming imams in the aisle that he made up into a discourse on how Osama bin Laden liked Vaseline. And that you, this is a quote. Oh, you may say you hate capitalism, but one of the, sooner or later, you're going to like what capitalism does. And Osama bin Laden liked his Vaseline. That's some more of that multi-million-dollar broadcasting there. For me, well, you know, we scramble to come up with $2,500 a month. And you guys make it all happen. But LegalZoom.com is willing to pay Glenn Beck, umpty bajillion, and his, you know, his syndicators, bajillions of dollars, so that they can be advertised alongside that sort of insanity. You may say you hate capitalism, but someday you'll need Vaseline. daggum. You know? That's just... too much for me to comprehend. I about went off the road. Poor Agnes was sitting there, strapped in and holding on tight on the passenger side of the big rusty red pickup truck. But she wasn't even noticing me about to take out a phone pole. She said, "He didn't just say that, did he, Bob?" "Yeah, he did, honey." That's why you got to have capitalism. Because nobody else could have invented Vaseline. Boy, howdy, I wish I was lying. But I ain't. So that's the beginning of the program. By the way, we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen coming up. After that, your phone calls, and plenty of them, I hope. We've been, haven't had a chance to talk for a couple of days now. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email. Well, if you're new to the program, maybe you don't know that. Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Light them up! The phones, I mean.
Meet me in Memphis. Meet me in Memphis. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, May 10, 2011.
It is a huge monumental flood. We're living historic times at this point.
The mighty Mississippi crests in Memphis while record drought dries out Texas. What the frack? Flammable drinking water near natural gas wells. Japan scraps nuclear plans. Florida nixes high-speed rail money. Other states rejoice.
A governor that rejects transportation dollars is penny wise and pound foolish.
Plus, guess who leads the world in clean energy?
Not us.
Not us.
Who would have guessed it? All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments. Right now, when you're paying $4 a gallon for gasoline, it's tough. Pretty soon you're going to want somebody to blame. I do want someone to blame. Who should I blame, Glenn Beck?
It's the Jew.
I knew it. I knew it was the Jews.
It's Israel.
I knew it was Israel. The preceding clip may or may not have been taken completely out of context. It was Glenn Beck. Who knows? This is your Green News Report.
What is wrong with the Jews?
Okay, Des, do you have any idea what Glenn Beck was actually talking about in that clip? I've listened to the full, you know, 3 or 4 minutes now, about 3 different times. I have no idea if he's blaming the Jews or not blaming the Jews.
It's quite an impressive word salad, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. And maybe he's not blaming the Jews. But, you know, after years of Beck taking everyone else out of context and holding them accountable for what they didn't say, I say we do the same thing to Beck.
Sounds good.
Anti-Semite. What do you got for us that is not out of context today, Des?
Well, fans of Elvis can rejoice.
Graceland is safe. We would charge hell with a water pistol to keep it that way, and I'll be willing to lead the charge.
That was the Shelby County Emergency Management Director. As Tennessee officials breathe a sigh of relief, the Mississippi River flooding has crested in Memphis, just a few inches shy of the all-time record set in 1937. Parts of downtown Memphis are inundated, but famous musical landmarks like Beale Street and Graceland were spared. No deaths or major injuries have been reported, but the danger is not over yet. The record flooding caused by weeks of record relentless rain will continue to work its way down the river all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, where the Army Corps of Engineers is preparing low-lying New Orleans for the flood. The flooding has also led to a call to reevaluate the wisdom of attempting to tightly control the flow of the Mississippi River via the levee system and a repetitive cycle of flooding and rebuilding on land in flood zones after the third 100-year flood in 80 years. And while weeks of relentless rain caused the flooding across the Midwest, nearby Texas is in the midst of a record deep drought that is still driving record wildfires. New data from the National Climate and Data Center shows that the last 7 months is now the driest period in recorded Texas history.
Now, last week, Governor Rick Perry down in Texas called for days of prayer to bring rain. Did those prayers get answered?
Not really, no.
Maybe they should have gone with the scientific method decades ago, but I digress.
From our What the Frack file, a new scientific study for the first time definitively links the controversial natural gas drilling technique known as hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, to contamination of nearby drinking water wells. Researchers from Duke University found water near gas wells were 17 times more likely to be contaminated by highly flammable methane, often at concentrations that posed an explosion risk for homeowners. Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu last week announced the formation of of a scientific task force to study fracking and make recommendations to protect water supplies. But natural gas drilling companies have denied responsibility.
Of course they have.
Florida's loss is New York's and New Jersey's gain.
That was New York's Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer talking about the $2 billion in federal money that was rejected by Florida's Republican Governor Rick Scott, who canceled a project to build a high-speed rail system between Tampa and Orlando. That money will now be given instead to high-speed rail infrastructure in 15 other states. Japan will scrap its plans to expand nuclear power as a result of its ongoing nuclear crisis. Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan announced this week he will instead seek to develop renewable domestic energy sources as Japan rebuilds its devastated coastline. Finally, which country ranks highest in clean energy? It isn't China, which ranks number 2, and it's also not the U.S., which is way down the list at 17. Denmark is number 1 in deployment and generation of clean energy, years after the Danish government launched a long-term plan to wean the country off imported oil.
We're number 17. Read about that and much more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. This week, we are in the middle of a fundraiser, a year of being attacked by a right-wing cabal over at Dig and Reddit on the Internet, censored by AOL, and, of course, the target of a $12 million plot by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Help us fight back. Help the Brad Blog keep making enemies. Your support is needed to help fight back. Please stop by bradblog.com and donate generously today if you can. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm on the Graceland, Graceland. Memphis, Tennessee, I'm going to Graceland.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And other bath and body stuff.
www.doublegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Eight minutes past the hour, and we are going to go straight to the phones after, just patience, please, after a quick run-by on the email bag. A couple of different queries. Ron and Raleigh. Bob, dare I ask what Osama liked his Vaseline for? That never really became clear, but I always assumed that living in a climate, you know, it's great for chapped lips. And then Jim, obviously considering the angle of a man with multiple wives, said, what about KY Love Lube? Oh, well, maybe that wasn't invented by capitalists. You know, Johnson & Johnson, they did KY Jelly, didn't they? I mean, that's a family-owned company. I don't know if that's sufficiently. Now, if it was a Mormon family-owned company, the Beck would probably be giving away free advertising, but they may not be sufficiently capitalist for the likes of Glenn Beck. By the way, Darlene noting, sorry, Bob, but you sound more like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Excellent. Than James Mason. Very appropriate, as Mr. Burns is a Republican. Cute Darlene. Oh, no, Ron didn't think it was James Mason either. Late, great Richard Harris. And by the way, before I do go to the phones, a little warning to myself and to everybody on the phones. Just got a note in from our blogger, Texas Betsy. You know, I've mentioned that she's recovering, and she had back surgery. And that is really, really painful. So she said earlier, you're live, yes? I'm listening on the TuneIn app from a friend's house where no one seems to know what the internet password is, hence no chat room. I've temporarily relocated due to excruciating spinal pain, many meds, and a possible post-op infection. Ow! Anyway, my friend and her two 10-year-olds are listening, so I need a Little Bobby, Little Susie warning if I need to play with the volume buttons. Many thanks. Okay, so we are under a Little Bobby, Little Susie warning. If you feel the urge to use some of the really fun Anglo-Saxonisms, or possibly lower German, I don't know, give a little 10-second Little Bobby, Little Susie shout-out for Betsy there for tender 10-year-old ears. And then this. Now, you may have heard on the Green News Report there, as Brad and Desi were talking about how Rick Goodhair Perry's Pray for Rain scheme didn't work. Breaking news. This from Betsy. And this is too funny for words. Now, I was all prepared to say that Texas, since it didn't rain when Rick Goodhair Perry, the governor of Texas, appropriately and most Christianly beseeched the Almighty for rain, that should be taken as a sign that that everybody in Texas has it wrong and he should probably institute Sharia law tomorrow. That was where I was prepared to go. But the universe is so far out ahead of me, it's not even funny. You know that President Not Sure, Barack Obama, he was due to attend a fundraiser in Austin tonight. And he did. And as Betsy relays the story, 2 weeks after Rick Perry couldn't coax any rain from his Easter prayers, it started raining in central Austin 2 minutes after Air Force One touched down. Betsy says, my tweets are having great fun calling him the Rainmaker. Did I mention he's here for a fundraiser? Wait a minute. We all know how important numerology is. It started raining in central Austin 2 minutes after Air Force One touched down. And 2 + 1 = 3, and that's the number of the Trinity! Wow. Oh, Lord my God. Nah, I'm just not as good as George Beverly Shea. How great thou art. How great thou art. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, David, what's happening?
Not much, but I did want to mention, I did want to see if you had watched the Aqua Teen Hunger Force premiere yet.
How long was it?
Only 10 minutes.
Please. Okay, yeah, then I caught it. Where's the rest of it?
Well, I mean, I think that's...
Shake is in a very bad place, David.
Yeah, I know. Shake is in a very bad place, and I did...
And what's with the subtitle, Seattle?
I think they just like messing with their with their fan base. I heard that some of the promos that they did, they had a... They had. I don't know if you caught some of the promos of how Carl was angry that they were changing Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No.
I got to send you the link to them because they're really classic. Because he starts like talking about why would you change the setting and the location there, you know? And he just goes, I mean, it's just so funny. Because
it's like he got killed off in a soap opera or something.
Yeah, it's funnier than actually listening to real voicemail because you can actually hear somebody saying this on a forum, like why the changes? And I think you know
they're not going to fly me. They can't make me root for those Seahawks.
Yeah, so something like that. Yeah, yeah, but I thought it was pretty good. I want to say that Alan the Alien Parasite, that was voiced by Steve Wright, I'm guessing.
Yeah, sounded like.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. I may be wrong on that, but yeah, for those people who didn't check that out, yeah, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube.
I was just so glad that I didn't miss it because it was right before we clicked the lights off, and there's nothing like falling asleep with Aqua Teens in your head.
Yeah, you're You're on that one right now.
Because immediately after that came on something that was utterly forgettable that didn't even... yuck. I'm down to... As far, you know, with Adult Swim, I'm pretty much down to Aqua Teens and Squidbillies.
Well, you know, I was just thinking of this. Speaking of comics, Mitzel Plick, a comic book character, Tucker Carlson, a comical character, and they look alike, so similar. I don't think it's a coincidence.
And they've never been seen in the same room together.
That's right. They've never been. I think someone should say that Tucker Carlson's name backwards so he will go back to the dimension that he came from.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Why don't you start something along those lines?
Well, you know, I think... What can you say about what's happening in the news today? What can you say? I hear that the rumor is on the foreign policy blogs and the wonk sites that they're keeping it under wraps that Gaddafi is dead. You heard this one?
No. See, I was gone all day.
Well, that's the rumor. You may want to do some researching and back-checking that a lot of people are just... apparently, Salif has taken command, and Gaddafi is no longer the commander. That's the rumor.
Deposed or dead?
Supposedly, he was killed in that raid, and he hasn't been seen for 9 days. That's the...
Oh, the one that got the grandchildren?
Yeah, that one. And I can see why, you know what, part of me, I can see why they wouldn't do that. Because everyone would go ballistic in the entire world.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like the Lord of the Rings when Sauron goes away and the evil forces of Mordor just sort of turn into fog, right?
Yeah, they would say, oh my God, the black president killed two leaders!
Who was it that offered that quip? This is the first time a black man's ever had to prove he killed a white guy?
I'm drawing a blank on this, but I did see a funny picture of Lord Voldemort and Rick Scott. Have you seen that one?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
Because there's kind of a Voldemort moment out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was, I was reading... I never stopped doing show prep, really.
Right.
And over the weekend, there was I read this New York Times article.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit here and bore us all to death reading it, but it was after the video of he who shall remain nameless, sitting wrapped in a blanket and wearing a watch cap. With his clicker in his right hand.
Right.
It's after all that was released. And the New York Times posted a story with principal authorship given to Elizabeth Buemiller.
Mm.
Okay, I'm not a fan. This is the lead paragraph. This is, just like Glenn Beck is professional broadcasting, this is professional journalism, David.
Mm.
Dateline, Washington. The world's most wanted terrorist lived his last 5 years imprisoned behind the barbed wire and high walls of his home in Abbottabad, Pakistan, his days consumed by dark arts and domesticity.
Dark arts.
Dark arts? Really? He's Voldemort? Dark arts?
Well, you know, he does kind of look like Jafar from Aladdin. If you look, you stare at him, like, constantly, and then just, if you're on some kind of illicit drug substance.
Yeah, bath salts, maybe, or something. Who knows?
Yeah, he starts to morph into Jafar. And then you realize...
No, really, dark arts! Dark arts! The New York Times, dark arts!
Yeah.
What? I mean, is this the opening scene from Shakespeare's Scottish play? You know, double toil and dark arts? Professional journalism? Are there pictures of other parts of the compound where there's like a laboratory with a Tesla coil and video of him going dark arts? What? Dark arts.
I wonder what would happen if you were with someone was to write to that person and say, could you explain what you meant by dark arts?
Well, then you'd get the snotty email back. Well, what that means, you rube in flyover country, you couldn't catch our witticism, whereby we referred to the fact that he, in the photograph, he has a white beard, but in all the videos, he's dyed it black. See what we mean? Dark arts. Oh my, I am a witty one. I mean, you can almost hear Elizabeth Buemiller. Oh, come here. Wait till you see what I've come up with. Oh, my God. This is going to... They'll never get it in flyover country.
You know, I find it interesting about all the coverage on Bin Laden, and I was reading up on where we get this information from, where we get the information that he's a sinister terrorist, and who supplies the journalists and the media. And I find it interesting that today that they just released a letter from his son condemning the U.S. for killing him and saying, well, obviously it's his son, allegedly now, the letter, allegedly, from his son. And it comes from the site organization who have ties to the RAND Corporation and they have ties to the Pentagon. And here's the other thing, Bob. Do you mind if we source check your information, site organization? No, you can't. It's classified. But you're not...
That's a secret. If we told you, we'd have to kill you.
Okay, but how do I know that you're actually translating... It's classified. I can't tell you. And it amazes me, and this is true. Anyone can look this up. Everyone in the entire Western world gets more than half of their information about Al-Qaeda... From this one outfit, site organization. Now, here's the other thing. They're also tied to, guess what, Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer.
Yeah. It's all the same, yeah.
And they're tied to a lot of these organizations. A lot of these, they have a, you know, if you look on Facebook, you can go there. And the founder is by a woman named Rita Katz, who comes from Iraq. And she decided to... move out of Iraq to go live in, I guess she moved out of Iraq during a time of great turmoil in Iraq, and she moved to Israel as a kid. And I don't know, she's been a lot of places hopping around the world. I'm not going to say that she has a CIA profile, but the very fact that you can't fact check any of this information should just send up warning flags. And maybe that's what we need, a cell phone.
That's app. You know what you call that, David?
Yeah, what's that?
That's faith-based intelligence.
Faith-based intelligence, right. Faith-based intelligence. That's what we are experiencing. But see, that's the thing what we're dealing with. And here's the other thing. A lot of these people who are Democrats, progressives, pragmatists, warlocks, whatever you want to call yourself, you're going to this information, and since you can't read Arabic, you're trusting this woman and this shoddy organization. They've taken money from the Pentagon. They've taken at least $50,000 from the Pentagon. They constantly bring in news to all these news organizations and just tell them, this is what our sources are saying. You got to cover this. But here's the kicker, Bob. To be a part of site organizations Newswire, this is similar to like join Newsmax.
And get a free copy of Jerome Corsi's new book.
Yeah, Jerome Corsi's excellent new book. I'm not even going to mention it anymore because I feel like it's like I'll create this virtual hashtag instantly in the ether.
No, he's still working it. I got another press release today.
Oh, you do? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who picks up on it in the media and then decides to just run with it. I really hope, you know what?
Oh, give me a minute. I'll have it here.
I know I may seem gullible, but I really hope Piers Morgan doesn't have this clown on and all these people.
You just put it into the universe. You have no one to blame but yourself, David.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, by the way, though, I got to tell you, I mean, all this shilly-shallying about, you know, Intel and American Wealth.
Yeah.
No, I got the real news here. Britney Spears biography comic book in stores tomorrow.
Oh, my God, that's going to be awesome. Britney Spears comic book? You kidding me?
I wish I was lying.
Now we need the Lady Gaga graphic novel, and I'm all set. Oh, my God. Speaking of Lady Gaga, I found this funny. I'm just going to mention this slightly. But before I mention Lady Gaga, going back to that site thing, just peddling back here, these guys are such master con men. To be a part of this organization, you have to pay, drum roll please, $2,000 a year. $2,000 a year to be a part of their special critical primary information intel on Islam and jihadists. And if you question them, then you're on their shit list. Because how dare you question us? How dare you? We have sources. And I'm telling you, you look at the people in the organization. If you Google like site institution, and you just go to the about section, it lists all the people that are involved in it. And guess what? Half of them are with the RAND Corporation. Half of them come back with an intel security background. And it all looks just shoddy as hell. And Bob, CNN, MSNBC, if you backtrack, they all go to this corporation for the breaking news.
I know.
It's amazing. It's amazing the fact that we don't have, you know, the founder, she wrote this book that was that talked about terrorism and some of the news breaks that she had and stuff like this, and nobody fact-checked her book.
Well, getting back to what we were talking about a minute ago, David, has anybody fact-checked Jerome Corsi's book?
Probably not,
because here's, I told you, I get a pitch a day about something in that stupid book. Okay, just 2 weeks before Obama finally released his quote-unquote birth certificate. Fukino was interviewed by NBC News national investigative correspondent Michael Isikoff, who reported that Fukino told him she had seen the original birth certificate and that it was, quote, half-typed and half-handwritten. Problem. The document released with great pomp and ceremony by the White House was entirely typed.
Entirely typed. You know, there's actually, I don't know who did it. I'm guessing the World News Daily operatives did it. But there's a YouTube video going around that says Barack Obama's birth certificate was called a forgery before it was real. And they show, like, the two different documents, and you can hear war drums in the background, and they zoom up.
Harold, call me. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But it was like you had this, like, background, like, Muslim Islamic chant going, ah, and it's all of this wavy effect and these big font letters.
Do you ever just want to crawl under a rock? Because if you do, I'll be there first. I mean, you know, it's the old Three Stooges thing. If you get there first, you make a mark. If I get there first, I'll rub it out.
Well, you know, before I go, I did want to bring up the ultimate con that is back at it again, one of the ultimate cons on the Internet. And I consider this guy pretty much one of the most diabolical because he's on progressive stations like you wouldn't believe. A lot of people are buying into his hype. I brought it up. It's that End of America video by this guy named Porter Stansberry, who actually got fined $1.5 million by the SEC. Anyways, a lot of people are picking up on the scam of Stansberry that's going across the Internet like you wouldn't believe. If you read a lot of political sites, you've probably seen a link to End of America. You've actually heard it on...
Oh, yes! Don't say where.
Yeah.
Wasn't their fault.
Heard it, but I'm not going to tell you where. You can get a good idea, though. But
go to endofamerica.com.
But here's the funny thing.
I'm submitting a bill for that.
This guy has such an ego. He goes on a lot of these debunking sites, pretends to be the person responding, and Porter Stansberry's MO is what he does is he just likes talking people into a coma, basically.
Yeah, but so Jesus, Porter Stansberry sounds like a guy who ought to be making beef stew.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people who say they got his newsletter and who were debunking him and saying, you know, I subscribed to your newsletter and you really didn't have anything of much value to say. And actually, you ripped me off of so-and-so, and I can't. And then they'll have somebody come by and go, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Like a person just like a person just out of blue. I don't know what you, like this woman named Katie. I don't know what you're talking about. I just got Porter and Stansberry's newsletter, and it's been helping me fairly well. I can't wait to start investing. And then he'll have someone come in, and he'll say, I don't subscribe to Porter Stansberry, but what he says has merit. And then you look at the post count, and it says one. And this guy comes in and goes, do you have any idea? The debunker comes back to him and goes, do you have any idea that you only have a post count of one, and you keep coming back and bringing up this thread over and over and over again, and I keep coming back to tell you that you are a complete fraud and nobody should listen to you? And do you realize that all of the people that you're pretending to be has a very similar writing style? And then you see he keeps doing it over and over again. Apparently he does it on the blogs. But the thing I wanted to bring up is, I guess the scam is running out of steam, so he's put together a new video, and he has this guy who's a geologist, and all you have to know is anyone who speaks in the Stansberry model is they speak for like 50 or 60 minutes to try to buy you this newsletter with some pseudo-history of the world, and then finally at the end, they tell you about the great opportunities that you can get from oil and gold investments.
There's never been a better time to buy gold. Buy gold now. Gold is your best hedge against inflation.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to mention that. But one last thing before I go, because I know there are other callers who are waiting patiently, and I thank you, Madam and Sir, Madam and Sirs.
Mesdames et Messieurs.
The Frontline is a good special that we should all watch, and I think it would do us all some good to watch, especially with the times that we're living in now. It's a special on Frontline called Capture Kill on the terrorist policies that we have for hit squads and in this country, and it should be eye opening with the people that they interview.
That's tonight.
Yep, that's tonight. And if you miss it, that's okay because PBS, they archive it at pbs.org/frontline, and you should be able to see it. And if you don't want to see it, the beautiful thing about Frontline, which I always love, is they put up all the interviews.
Well, Frontline, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Usually it's something just brutally painful to watch, but
yeah,
you sort of strap in and feel better for having at least learned it by the time it's over, because that's the way journalism is. Sometimes in this world it's not all, you know, rainbow bright. Sometimes it's rainbow dim.
Well, I think the problem that we're entering now, we're entering that era, and we've talked about it before, Bob, is the kill capture and the mentality that so many people just say, are you crazy? He's a bad person. Of course we got to kill him, over and over again. And they don't understand that that's just going to reverberate all across the world if you keep on killing leaders like this. And you're going to have yourself not one 9/11, two 9/11s, three 9/11s, and they won't all be in America, but they'll be somewhere else. And you can't pretend and say, oh, my God, why would this happen? And I think that's the problem that we're facing, Bob. I think we need to really think about the direction that we're going in. And a lot of progressives need to hop off the war train, because that's not progressive at all.
I never saw much progressive about being warlike.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, the what's happening, Bob, is a lot of the progressives are transforming into these war hawks, because they immediately get the
cruise missile liberals.
Yeah, cruise missile liberals, exactly. I mean, I was watching the CNN, and what was it? Oh, Martin Bashir has to have the Moran quote of the week. I don't know if you heard about this.
Oh, goody, I can't wait.
Oh, my God. He was talking to Tom Tancredo, and he said...
That had to be good.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch an interview with him. I mean, that guy is...
Tom Tancredi?
I had Breitbart on. I mean, that's all you need to hear. He had Breitbart on. You interviewed
him. Well, but so did Marr.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's, and again, I question him, but I mean.
And now Breitbart's crying.
Bashir from the get-go.
Yeah, what did he say?
You can't trust this guy. MSNBC. If I was the president, I'd dump him. I'd dump him in a second because it's obvious the guy is just a charlatan and he's a shock sensationalist. But anyways, this is the question he asked. He said to Tom Tancredo, he goes, "Would you rather Bin Laden be killed or Obama?"
No.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then Tom Tancredo then said, "No, dear God, I don't want Obama to be killed."
He makes it rain.
I mean, it's the dumbest question, and the fact that stuff even gets on the air just shows you how low we've reduced. We can't call it journalism. That's what it is. Shock sensationalism. For those people who don't know, Martin Bashir, he's the guy who signed the deal on getting Michael Jackson all exclusive access, and he did that special where he just hanged around him for about a month or so, and it was really just all sensationalist. And the way he talked about his kids and all of this, I mean, and the fact that Michael Jackson trusted him, that was the most hysterical thing. It's like, wow, you really trusted this guy? You must be high on so many cocktails of drugs, including Demerol, morphine, and whatever. I mean, because, my God, just looking at the guy, Bob, just looking at the way he looks at you, you can't trust this guy interviewing you. He doesn't even look serious.
No, he's pretty goofy.
That's about all. But I just wanted to mention that the most important thing was the frontline thing on tonight, Kill Capture. I'll be interested to see what the reaction is from the rest of the Horn listeners.
Cool. All right. Thanks, David.
All right, Bob. Later.
Later. Bye now. And moving onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Breaking news, Lady Gaga to the debut songs on Farmville. I mean, this world is...
Stop, so no.
No, listen. That is too weird. That Farmville stuff gives me the creeps because that's that fake virtual economy where people work for free because they think it's fun, you know? But it's...
Well, there's the new mantra, Sandra. Working for free is fun.
Well, and
remember when Barbie said math is hard?
Listen, anyway, I just was that just sort of, you know, I'm yuck, okay? So creepy. Good night. Why didn't I buy that farm in New Zealand when I had the chance?
the real one.
It was only $20,000 in American money in 86, if you can believe that.
You know what? That's one of those little crossroads that you're going to torment yourself over when you're gumming your creamed corn in,
God,
you know.
Damn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, because it was just, when I was down there, I was like, oh, my God. Because, you know, just was a piece of property, but it had a little stream, and I never forget this red barn. Anyway, I'm sorry to drift, but.
Oh, drift,
I'm
Sandra.
Crazy. It's just like. It's this anyway. So that thing I sent you, yeah. So that was a good punk because I really didn't know what was going on with the inhalers. I couldn't make the connection.
Well, you know, but you and the rest of America, these coal companies are so outright sleazy that you can see them doing that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I just sent it on to you because I just thought, oh, you know, this is, you know what I mean.
But again, I don't know if Agnes is going to the circus tonight and the camels and the lightning and everything, but it would have been nice to confirm with the camel that the 100th name of God is irony, because at the time that you sent me that link, I was sitting in a meeting where we were discussing the impacts of mountaintop removal on children's health.
Wow. Well, because it just was sort of, I mean, I looked at it because I didn't have time because I was in the middle, but I looked at it and I thought, oh, no, this is, I don't know what this is. So I just thought maybe you might make some hay out of it, and thankfully you did because that was That's crazy. I looked at it, I thought, wow, this is pretty elaborate. You know, looking Dora, and, you know, just went on and on. I just...
Okay. Which one was... Come on, Sandra. Which one was... And I know, you've got those precious little nieces. We all know you liked the Justin Bieber inhaler, didn't you?
Oh, God. Stop. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, you're inundated by the sort of consumerism that's directed at the kids, and it's quite overwhelming. For me, I can't imagine what it's like for them.
Yeah, that's where, yeah, imagine that constant pressure.
Right, no, it's just because, you know, they've always been pretty, the niece, you know, my little nieces have always been pretty good about understanding, well, no, we ain't got no money, you see, and they don't have no shame around it, so it's not really an issue. But, you know, it's closing in on us because they're getting bigger, and, you know how those things just sort of, it's amazing how overwhelming it is. Because we don't, you know, in our household, we tend to save. I realize it's a dirty word. And the kids just kind of get on with it, you know, but it's everywhere.
Oh, it is.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, yeah, that wasn't what you were asking. But it just kind of, you know, anytime I see any cartoon characters associated with the products, and it's all of it is too much for me. But anyway, go
well, ahead. No, that's like that, you know, I went from there to the NRA, and, you know, I don't know if they could possibly be punked by the Yes Men, because they've already made a joke out of themselves, because they have a gun safety cartoon character.
Right.
Remember Eddie Eagle?
Well, didn't they enlist the aid of some star to narrate one of their, stories too. I get confused.
Oh, I remember something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Rick Scott thing, you know, once again, that could have been perceived as a joke too. But because I read that article, I knew it was for real. But that's pretty damn scary. And you did a good job of trying to explain. Well, these are kind of standard questions that you get between you and your doctor, type of thing. Again. The GOP is right there.
Well, I love the fact that these are functions of the doctor-patient privilege, Sandra, and yet you've got these gun freaks running out there saying, my doctor done asked me if I had me no guns.
No, it's pretty, yeah. Listen, way back when the Florida was having their gubernatorial race, we were saying that, oh, God, but this is so much worse. That, I feel for Florida because... That man's crazy, and he's a criminal. He's criminally crazy. So that makes him a sociopath, right?
I'd say so. Yeah, I don't think he's gone psychopath, because, then again, some of this stuff's getting pretty open and notorious, isn't it?
Well, no, but he's also causing huge divisions and cleavages in his own party. I mean, he's not, I think his own party is just, oh, my God. It's a disaster, and there's no recall in Florida. So how many years they got?
3.5.
It's pretty scary what that guy's doing. You know, he just is in the process of turning over more prisoners, more prisons to the private sector, too.
Yeah, and it's worth remembering that I think Alabama and Georgia, or Alabama and Mississippi, have pending legislation just like the Florida gun, don't be meddling with my guns, you know, Mayeller and Billy Bob. No, they're going to pass them too. And the next thing you know, it's going to be like those open, notorious, carry laws, and it'll sweep the nation like cholera.
Well, no, but once again, this is just the endless, with the Republicans in charge at the state level, it's just an endless downside to federation. You see what I'm saying? I'm sorry. It's like, Jesus help us, because most of our lives are managed at the state level. You know what I mean? And there they are. And I don't really think people realize it. And it's just kind of every day. I mean, you could have a whole show just retelling the stories of these idiot Republican state level lawmakers. I mean,
you've got to go to Crooks and Lawyers, crooksandliars.com, and check out Matt Osborne's post about big government Republicans in Alabama, because until you've watched these clowns at work inside the Alabama legislature, it's It's like a trip to the Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium. Yeah, you're stunned.
Well, no, but it is. It's just sort of. I mean, and here in California, and yet we have Governor Moonbeam, which listen, better him than that nutmeg. But this fool, you know, they're just dismantling education. It's terrible what is going on in this state because Brown wanted to bring up some revenue legislation to the public. That was part of his whole deal. He wouldn't raise taxes, but he would let the public do it. Well, these disgusting Republicans, because the state is so dysfunctional, have been able to prevent even getting this on in front of the public to vote for. So because we can't vote for more revenue, well, Brown has to start cutting. And, I mean, we're talking cuts that you aren't even, people aren't even going to fathom what the hell it means. I mean, on the upside, he said no to the new gas chamber. We'd be grateful for that. I don't know. So anyway, listen, I have to go quickly over to this. I know this whole thing with this fool from the Washington Post writing about Mike Beloit.
No, what? Like I said, I was kind of out of commission.
Colbert I. King? He's one of the opinion writers, black guy for Washington Post.
Oh, no.
Thing about, I guess, Mike Malloy. I mean, yeah, Malloy said something about, that the Navy SEALs need to visit George Bush.
Yeah, what was it? If they want to get another terrorist, they might stop by the Bush house. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is what he said. He said Michael Loy described on his website as a traditional liberal Democrat doing his part to return the Democratic Party to its liberal roots. Okay, that's in quotes. Talked about the death of Osama bin Laden and the lives lost in the war on terror. And he went on to say that Malloy said former George Bush was responsible for more deaths than bin Laden. And, you know, he's just going on about it's a complete outrage that he's comparing it and, you know.
Oh, the absurdly false and offensive likening of Bush to bin Laden.
Right, and, you know, going on about how dangerous it is, you know, with these words in the public discourse. And it's like, in the meanwhile, the same dynamic where you freak out when people say stuff, but you're okay with the millions upon hundreds of thousands of people being slaughtered in war. That's never a bother. I'm so sick of that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, well, you know, and this is more of that sort of. I mean, isn't it? Isn't this more of that? John Stewart, false equivalence. Both sides do it. But, God, I mean, at some point in time, we have to be a member of the reality-based community, don't we, Sandra? George Bush did kill more people than Osama bin Laden. I mean, he just did.
Well, and it's just sort of, I don't know. Anyway, so this is, you know, I guess this has been giving Malloy a lot of grief because it's fairly prominent.
Well, I heard him mention something on Friday night's program. That he's gotten hate mail from right-wingers that involved doing despicable things to his precious little daughter.
Well, and then just a general outrage that anyone could compare or even suggest that what Bush did was war crimes. And it's just kind of like, I didn't realize that that was debatable. I thought we just as a country just decided, well, that's all right. But to read this, you would think that, Michael Loy is just smoking crack. You see what I mean?
And I'm looking at this as we're talking, Sandra. I'm looking at remarks on this over at Democratic Underground. And, you know, I can't stand these squishy, kumbaya, tambourine tapping, guitar strumming liberals, so-called. Yeah, he takes things way too far for my taste. He's lowering himself to their level, and I can't go along with that.
Well, it's just bizarre, but you go along every day with drone strikes against Americans who haven't been charged with anything because King Obama said so. Yeah, you go with that, but someone can't make any rhetorical flourishes about anything without you freaking out on every editorial page across the country. I mean, something's seriously wrong with this country. I am convinced, because no matter what, if you disagree, you know, with Malloy and his methods, I mean, that's neither here nor there. It's just a voice. And to get this worked up about it, it's like, I'm sorry to say, I know this may get me into trouble, people freaking out about the guy who called you calling the Republicans some faggots. Now, I understood what he was saying. I got the whole picture, the subtext, context. It's like, I understand. But no, you're going to have to hear about it from somebody. And I was just sitting here thinking, oh, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And
like, I don't know. That really bugged me since we're on it, because I'm thinking, oh, come on. I understood. What was his name who called? Marine?
Yeah, it was Mark.
And it's like...
And everything he said was offered in good faith. And later on, I got an email saying, you know, Bob, you were right. It was offered in good faith. It was not offered as a function of hate speech. And I understand what you were trying to explain. There are visceral reactions to that, you know, to certain words.
No, and I understand. I'm not saying that. I mean, it's just difficult. I was just thinking of it in the whole context and the whole spirit of where he was coming from, and I just sort of appreciated it.
Yeah. Well,
the hypocrisy of the Republicans, you know, turning to the bathroom, to men in secret. I understood the whole context of what he was saying. So when he said it in that way, it really didn't bother me. I don't know. I just thought, oh, my God, you know, sometimes the liberals drive me up the wall. That's all.
Well, sometimes, and you know what? Sometimes it's hard to be us.
But the thing that
I come back to, though, Sandra, is that When we object to something like this, we object from a place that is right and good and decent. But when, on the other hand, the other side does it, well, you know what, you didn't like it when Glenn Beck said that because, you know, political correctness rules this nation, which is, you know, just dog whistle code for we want to say those words all the time.
Yeah, and it's BS anyway. I mean, PC is at best quaint at this point. So for people to lose their minds over Mike Malloy and whatnot, it's a joke considering what our actual actions have become since, pick a year, 9/11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's absurd. And I'm more concerned about this grievous expansion of presidential power. It's doing my head in, because this fool literally tried to kill this American and killed a couple others. Oh, well, we got two of them. They may be what? As far as I know, they're innocent driving a car in Yemen. That's all I know, Bob.
Well, and did you notice the theming or framing or messaging that's going on, Sandra, that I saw this over the weekend? I think it was that, what's his name, Fawaz Gurges. You know who I'm talking about. He's a Middle East expert. He's with the London School of Economics, and they were, well, who is the next in line for Al Qaeda now? Is it Zawahiri? Of course, it was pronounced all hillbilly. You know, is it Zawahiri, or is it Alaki? And they were trying to lead this guy into saying, you know, oh, no, it's going to be Alaki, Yemen, blah, 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 monster, bad, under your bed. Mm. And
no, but, you know, but the thing is, though...
Because the media loved the little masturbatory orgy that they got out of all of this. If it, you know, there's no, it's still true, Sandra. If it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
And they want them some more SEAL Team 6.
No, and another disturbing narrative that's coming out of this whole Obama taking out bin Laden thing is this one. The whole idea that, damn, it was amazing to behold how well Obama caused synergy and got people to work together. If only he didn't have the Congress. I'm not lying, Bob. This is the narrative that I've been hearing. They're saying what a wonderful leader he is, except for the fact that the People's House is just in his damn way. I'm scared. I'm really scared of those sort of narratives because all it speaks to is empire. Okay?
Well, and but you know where I am. As far as I'm concerned, we're already there.
I know, but you know what I mean? But this is the narrative that I'm hearing on our side. Let me get this straight where this is coming from, too, though. I ain't listening to no, you know, whatever. This is on where we live, this narrative about, because everyone's driven crazy by Obama now, I've decided, left, right, and center. Okay, this is, if I wasn't living here, this would be one of the most interesting periods in America, looking at this shit, because of the racial dynamic going on, and this man performing very well in certain instances and not in others. It's just a mess, you know. But I don't know. I'm not keen on the sort of being able to just kill folks with the sort of detached technology we have too. That also comes into play, you know.
Well, and that goes back to the. And I've got an email from Ron and Raleigh on this as well. I'll share it later. It's kind of lengthy. That goes back to this idea, and they've been pressing it hard. It's been used more than once. That Bin Laden was given justice. And you know what? If justice now flows from the executive branch,
yeah,
we got a real problem.
Well, no, that's what the whole issue is, and it's just kind of. But, you know, before I get too exercised by it, I always just check myself with the history of this country. You see what I'm saying? It's easy to forget when you're living amongst all this amazing technology and modernity. But where we living, Bob? I mean, really, it's a lot of hard work for America to stay viable and civilized. It's very easy, as we've seen time and time again in this country, to go off the deep end. So I guess I really shouldn't be surprised by what's going on with the executive branch.
Well, no, and again, if we go back to my thesis about empire, that we're not going there, that we are there, and I think there's a significant difference, then nothing surprises me. And emperors get to do things like order summary executions.
Well,
because that's what this was.
Well, and also, you know, it's like I can't help but think of Claudius, you know, these Augusta, all these reasonable ones. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's always very unreasonable ones right around the corner.
Well, God Almighty, Octavian came to conclusions, you know, before he had that whole contretemps with Mark Antony, they realized that the Republic was broke.
Mm.
And the only way that they were going to get money was to proscribe certain rich people. So they started looking for people, and it got down to real, you know, rubber meets the road time. And then they started swapping relatives with each other. Okay, I'll give you him if you'll get, yep, and everything gets confiscated, and these people were murdered in cold blood, citizens of the Republic, not little bread bakers and plebeians down there, but we're talking about the knight class and the senatorial class, and they were killed on a word. And that can and does happen here.
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just, and I often forget, you know, you're just in your little life, you just whatever, but then I realize, well, shit, there's 320 million people in this country, you know, it's pretty big, and it's just, it's a huge Titanic, the U.S., and it's just worrying about what's going on, because please explain to me, why were we able to put people who killed millions, Nuremberg, we did that? Don't tell me that Bin Laden's crime is anything remotely familiar.
I have a quote here that I think will speak to you.
Ugh.
And you know, I accept that Empire does this. I hope Empire never does it to me. but there's a man who has been intimately associated with the international human rights community, and especially with the creation of the International Criminal Court in The Hague. His name is Jeffrey Robertson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. But he wrote an op-ed piece on May the 4th that was published in the Sydney Morning Herald. And regardless of the outcome, he does something down at the bottom of this piece that really just sort of grabbed me. And he said, just bear with me for a second. He writes, the obsessive belief of the U.S. in capital punishment alone among advanced nations is reflected in its rejoicing at the manner of bin Laden's demise. Barack Obama has most likely secured re-election by approving the execution. This may be welcome given the alternatives of Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee, who have both urged that Julian Assange be hunted down in similar fashion, or Donald Trump. But it is a sad reflection on the continuing attraction of summary execution. And then this is the part I wanted to get to. That was the setup. This is the clip. It was not always thus. When the time came to consider the fate of men more steeped in wickedness than bin Laden, the Nazi leaders, the British government wanted them hanged within 6 hours of capture.
Churchill, right.
Yeah. The president, Harry Truman, demurred, citing the conclusion of Justice Robert Jackson that summary execution, quote, would not sit easily on the American conscience or be remembered by our children with pride. The only course is to determine the innocence or guilt of the accused after a hearing as dispassionate as the times will permit and upon a record that will leave our reasons and motives clear. And he finishes by saying he insisted upon judgment at Nuremberg, which has confounded Holocaust deniers ever since. Killing bin Laden instead of capturing him was a missed opportunity to prove this charismatic leader was a vicious criminal who deserved to die in prison, not as a martyr to his inhuman cause.
Well, and missed opportunity is the key to this whole administration, is it not? I'm sorry. But the thing is, this is well beyond, it doesn't sit well with me taking out people, attempting to take out people, and have Americans just saying, oh, yeah, this is the way to go. I mean, I guess in Truman's day, civics was required, or I don't know, what was the difference?
Well, I think we were a better nation.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
yeah.
On the one hand, if the story's not apocryphal and in fact happened, you've got the story of Patton driving along his troops. Where are you going, General? I'm going to Berlin. I'm going to shoot that paper hanging son of a bitch. And you know what? Given the chance, a Patton would have. But there were larger considerations of what the world looked like post-war. And I think that, if you go and you read, not you probably have, if you go and you read the writings of Justice Robert Jackson, they're profound on this topic. They're absolutely profound. And he had, it's encapsulated in that quote from the article from Sydney Morning Herald, that things had to be done in such a way that they would have a resonance down the ages. And frankly, Wanted Dead or Alive doesn't have the resonance that we were courageous enough to give them the justice they would not give others.
I just think that this just makes for, we're not a very good country. But see, here's the bigger problem for me, which I've said before. If we don't follow the rule of law, then what are we? There's no other reason for the U.S. except for that. That's what.
Right, and when that goes out the window, you put up the neon blinking sign that says "Empire Hot Now," and you realize where you are. And I realize that's not a satisfactory answer, but for me it is an answer, because going back to the Nuremberg thing. Or maybe even staying in the present, depending on how you look at it. This country, our country right now, transported in time to 1945, would not be capable of Nuremberg. When Churchill said, hang him within 6 hours, I have no doubt that Barack Obama would say, yep, do it.
Yeah, right. Well, who were the Germans running to when it was all coming undone? They weren't running to the Russians, were they now?
No, because they knew that the summary justice was is what they would get.
But these days, you know, America, it doesn't represent that. I mean, when you have to sit there and endure, you know, a polite-sounding, calm Obama explaining whatever he is on 60 Minutes, it still comes, you know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig with him. It's
well, like, I'm still, you know? Like I said, you know, he used that, we gave, you know, he received justice line in that interview. And just because of the cup of coffee I had in law school, maybe. But I hear that, and the sad thing is, I know that the rest of America is hearing it and going, yep, he sure did at the end of our rope. And, you know, at the bullet point, at the muzzle of a gun, that's some frontier justice, and that's what we do here in America.
Yeah, no, no.
But me, little old me, is going, no, that might have been vendetta, that might have been revenge, that might have been retribution, but it was not justice.
Oh, no, and it's just I just think it sets a precedent, and I'm scared of what's going to be justified next based on this, so on and so forth, you know what I mean? But listen,
yeah.
I just sort of mention this other thing that really drove me crazy today. Did you happen to read that David Brooks thing that I sent?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Listen, they got so many comments on this one, they had to shut this shit down. Because people are just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So the thing is, he said, there are probably more idle men now than at any time since the Great Depression. And this time the problem is more structural. Why might that be, Mr. Brooks? Could it be that we're in a Great Depression? You idiot. God, he's disgusting with his social darwinism.
No, but there was a line in there, Sandra, that just it made me feel like I'd walked through a spider web. I mean, I was just all over. And it was this, because I highlighted it. Part of the problem has to do with human capital. Human capital? Wait. Isn't that human beings? How far is it from human capital, Sandra, to human chattels?
Well, yeah, I mean, human capital, you know, is this, yeah, no. That's a disgusting line, too. I mean, the thing is, the sort of parasite producer, you know, it's that whole objectivist bullshit. Horrible. I just can't stand David Brooks. God, anyway, I mean, the missing fist, is that what it is now?
Yeah, or the forgotten fifth.
Okay, but let me just jump to this right here. Study in Times. 85% of recent college graduates are moving back in with mom and dad. 54% of them aren't able to get jobs.
And yet, up in his article, he says, well, you know, but unemployment's only 10% for college graduates.
Right, but obviously there's some sort of, you know, he needs to get out more. Horror show. I don't know.
Stop making up stories about the thing that Candy told him.
Oh, well, no, that's Thomas Friedman.
No, that's Friedman. I'm sorry. I get my elitist snobs from the New York Times confused from time to time.
No, it all merges. Anyway, I'll let you go. But I have to say another thing that was killing me today is remember how many months ago? Maybe it's been a year since I said, "Oh my God, Greece, they need to just not." And say they did. Well, Greece is now sort of must be threatening to pull the hell out because Germany is scrambling like mad to accommodate them, you see. So I predict Greece is going to say goodbye, euro, and hello, drachma.
Because we're going to solve our debt problem with our own currency.
Well, listen, when they first, in Ireland. That poor country. So listen, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I just thought there's no way that these countries, they can't pay the debt. Argentina much?
So going down the road, I actually thought of you today because driving down the road this morning, I heard discussion of Iceland.
Well, Iceland, they're taking a different route anyway.
And it was this whole discussion about the problem and when their crash came. And then the closer sentence was, and with all the problems that stemmed from their lack of other currencies, in 2012 they have to begin repaying their debt in other currencies. And I thought, yeah, who thinks that's going to work? Because I mean, it's the same dodge. You know, Argentina, Greece, Spain, Portugal, Ireland.
No, but the, you know, it's just the thing is, you know, there was sort of predictions of calamity with Argentina, and they had, brace yourself, one quarter of nightmare, and within a year, they had bounced back by saying no to the bankers, essentially. Now, of course, the bankers live in fear, and that's why they're scrambling in Brussels, because they're like, oh, no, if Greece gets out, that spells the end of that experiment. And as far as I'm concerned, it can't happen fast enough, because that is sort of the experimental bed for neoliberal monetary policies, the euro.
And if Greece, what, I mean, is there a domino effect if Greece says goodbye?
Well, yeah, because people forget that with Greece, the whole reason for the bailout, this is my opinion and just my side of it, this is my side of it, is to protect the exposure of debt to the French and German banks. It's huge. And what you're going to hear is a lot of gibberish about how labor costs too much. That's a bunch of bullshit. Greece needs to collect more taxes and make the banks take the haircut.
Well, that's another, that's Milton Friedman translated into French and German, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're constantly blaming...
That it's all labor's fault, it's all those pesky working people wanting to do all that useless eating?
Or they get paid too much. But in this case, this really is a lie. The banks are the ones that are risking severe exposure. They're all wanting to get what Lafcea has, which is everyone, you don't have the non-recourse loans for your mortgage, you know, where you can walk away.
Right.
You
I learned about those in law school. I always wondered where you got one.
Yeah, the loans are saddled with the families now in Lafcea. Do you realize this? So if they can't pay back the mortgages, well, that's just passed down generationally. You can't turn in your keys in Lafcea.
Wait, so debt. Holy.
You hear me?
Well, we in fact, we took a step in that direction, didn't we? Remember when, it wasn't corporate, but remember when personal bankruptcies got reformed all of a few years ago and Democrats went jumping around, leaping in, couldn't wait to vote for it, because what it did was it transformed unsecured debt in the form of like credit cards and crap into, you know, just immediately, there's no security interest, nothing's filed at the courthouse, but suddenly your credit cards are secured debt that you can't bankrupt?
Right, and that's the thing that is...
I mean, that's the first step before the Latvia step, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and that's what... And you also had a little look-see with these strategic, whatever they called them here, they were sort of alluding to, that people were, you know, unfairly walking away, and they wanted to do something to make them not do that. And you know what that means, is to try to attach the debt to something other than a structure. Your family for the next two generations? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, Bob, but this is the thing that's going on in parts of Europe. You know, that is just terrifying.
How do you...
When I die, you know, I just... That's it, dirt nap. You don't want to be thinking about your offsprings and whatnot being, you know, stuck.
Yeah, I mean, you die, you get to tell that, you know, oh, look, you won. Your debt lived and I died, pound sand.
Well, you know, like... Kenny Boy, Ken Lane, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Is she still wearing widow's weeds while she's living in the mansion with the paintings, Mrs. Lay?
You know, I mean, listen, that was an interesting moment, sort of Romanesque. You know, with that fool, he just happened to drop dead just in time.
Well, I still think he's up there on Mars with Elvis. You know.
Oh, I know. But there's a movie the documentary that's. I don't know if it's been financed, but, you know, suggesting that Ken Lay is alive and well somewhere, but that's just another story for another show. Anyway, yeah, I'll let you go.
Great conversation, Sandra. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. Two things. Yeah, two things. One, do go and read this miserable screed at the Washington Post by Colbert I. King, if you haven't already. Caution, words can inflame. You know, isn't it funny that I sit here talking about the fact that incitement to violence, that there can be, you know, according to Supreme Court precedent, that there can be prior restrictions on speech for people like the Quran burner Terry Jones, right? Oh, we can't do anything until he does something. And then in a moment of satire and parody that is apparently utterly lost on Colbert I. King, Mike Malloy's inflaming people. And the little kumbaya crowd out there, oh, I can't believe he said that. I'm a liberal. Damn, I think I just peed a little bit. Jesus. And then this David Brooks thing. Go have a look. It's just, you know, blaming working people. Yeah, it's dadgum unemployed people. If they just dropped dead, we wouldn't have a problem. And then, and then toward the end, he pretties it up with a comparison to Medicare. Jim noting that the practice of execution has been in effect a long time. The British SAS for years handled terminations with extreme prejudice at our bequests. Go figure. And that's the thing. You know, there was a conscious effort made on the part of the United States at the close of the Second World War to say, we are not going to be what they were. They did summary executions. We don't do summary executions. We're going to find some facts and we're going to expose it. Right. Because, I mean, we do know now, right, that the only gun battle outside of Shea bin Laden was by his courier and his wife, both of whom got blown away. That most of the compound were women and children. Two of the people that got blown away, one was his son, who was, he was going for a gun. No, he wasn't. He was unarmed. Blew him away. Blew another unarmed guy away. And then went in and blew away bin Laden. You know, I live in the reality-based community here. And having said that, this was, you know, this was not, okay, pick a movie reference. What was this not? You know, this was not the shootout at the OK Corral. This was the killing of Santino Corleone, Sonny, if you recall the scene from The Godfather. And just ran up and just blew him to hell. And then got away. But empires do what we did. But let's just acknowledge that we're empire. Because you know what? Trying to fix a system while we maintain the fiction that everything is still okay means whatever your solution is going to be reached via false premises, and therefore the solution will also be false. This is one of those moments when it would be instructive to go to Thucydides and read the Melian Dialogue. Really, read the Melian Dialogue. Great big Athens telling the small nation what to do. Small nation wanting to do it. City-state, actually. And the conclusion being that great states do as they wish. Small states do as they must. And that's not offered in Thucydides. That's not offered as an excuse. It's offered as, per my reading, more of a condemnation. Let's see. Hey, welcome to the program.
So Sheikh Osama's dust in the wind, huh?
Yeah, all he is dust in the wind.
Yeah, you know, what do you think, man? I mean, we're now executing people without trials.
Yeah, not that. You know, but again, I want to be clear on this, Tony. This country, at this moment in time, and you know, I would love for some right winger to be here. You know, he's talking bad about. No, this is just reality. This country, at this moment in time, is incapable of doing what this country did in 1945 and 1946 and onward with the war crimes trials. It is incapable of doing it because even, you know, come on, we couldn't try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a court of law because Barack Obama got all squishy and weak-kneed and decided he needed to be tried by a kangaroo court instead. You know, so if he had been tasered or pepper sprayed and the plastic handcuffs had been put on him and he had been brought out. I mean, they brought out his body anyway, right? What's the difference? Dead or tasered? But anyway, even if that had happened, there would have been no justice. It would have been justice with an adjective in front of it. It would have been rough justice or frontier justice or military justice. And the fact of the matter is, I think we can come up with a little bit of a rule here. And that is that anytime you have, or summary justice, anytime you have to put an adjective in front of the word justice, it ain't justice.
You know, the interesting thing about it is, I mean, if you look at death is death, and any time somebody dies, it's obviously horrible. You know, I mean, the Germans killed like 40 times more than the people he did, and they got trials. You know, and I kind of think maybe that they really didn't want him to testify, because if they ever really translated what he was saying, you know, he might have...
See, I can't go there, Tony.
You don't think so?
I can't go there because... It provides too nefarious an excuse. I just think that this nation, our nation, is so weak and so poor in spirit that we couldn't do it. You know, consider, who was it? Jim will know. He'll tell me if I'm wrong. Was it Albert Speer that was kept for life in Spandau prison until it reached the point where he was the only prisoner in Spandau prison in Germany? And yet, somehow, they weren't afraid that hordes of old Nazis would overrun the prison and spirit him out. And yet, that is one of the arguments used by the right wing for, well, what if he just got life imprisonment? Then we'd have to worry forever about a Muslim Sharia army coming to America and springing their holy, sacred Sharia leader, Osama bin Laden, and busting him out and having terror here in America.
I think that we'd be able to... I think our radar would pick them up coming up from the ocean. I don't know.
Well, so do I. But I mean, what I'm getting at, Tony, is that's the kind of absolute bedwetting fear that inhabits the wholly irrational right wing and a whole bunch of the rest of the, you know, most of America, you know, yay, we got bin Laden, hot daggity. Turn American Idol back on now, would you, Eunice?
I think,
We're not capable. We're not capable, Tony, of the kind of dedication to principled, actions that we once were.
Like any kind of actions like this, the first one is always the hardest. Like what we just did now. The second one's going to be a little bit easier, and the one up there's going to be a little bit easier, and pretty soon...
And you know what? When we do get around to predator droning or SEAL Team 6-ing Alaki, that's going to be one of those hard moments, too, that will somehow get over the hump, because that man is a born American citizen.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that works out. So Rick Perry was praying for rain, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe he was praying to the wrong God. You know?
Yeah.
And
oh, by the way, Betsy went on to let me know that the irony gods are shining on us because one of the Obama fundraisers this evening in Austin is at the W Hotel.
Did Texas Betsy hurt her back?
Oh, she's had a bad back for years. Bad, awful problems. And she finally took the big leap and did surgery. And, I mean, I know people have been, and it ain't pleasant.
How did she hurt it? Running from the cops?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. I'm just playing.
You're brutal. You're awful.
Did you hear Glenn Beck? He was up there questioning, did you hear him question that, should we have killed Bin Laden? I mean, America doesn't do that. Did you hear what he was saying the other day?
No.
We killed Bin Laden. America doesn't do that. We put people on trial.
Yeah, because, and that was all sarcasm. I know what you're talking about now. That was all sarcasm because he wanted to create the message inside his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, arm and elbow pad-wearing, house helmet-clad, oatmeal-dribbling, Velcro shoes-wearing faithful that if we'd had a trial, that would have been sissy stuff.
You know, things are getting a little weird, man. I mean, you know, like I said, if you look at the magnitude of what you're talking about right now, we killed somebody without a trial. We just decided to do frontier justice, and it's kind of like when the kids came out into the street and they were yelling and chanting Sunday night when everyone was cheering. That was kind of weird because it was like a part of me was going, well, finally we got rid of this schmuck. But at the same time, I was going, should I be happy about somebody dying? It was kind of strange. You know what I mean? It was like, because it was such a...
let's not pretend that this is something unique to Americans, Tony. Crowds have gathered in public squares from time immemorial and cheered as the heads fell from the shoulders. And I'm not talking about anything that happened in the Middle East. I'm talking about our esteemed forebears in England, in France... the French Revolution, everybody cheered when another head fell off. And frankly, if we applied modern standards to Elizabeth, the Queen of England, Elizabeth I, we would call her a brutal dictator who killed her own people.
You're right about that.
But we can't say that because that would be saying that about white people. And you can't say that about white people.
Did you see... Who's the guy, the main guy on Fox and Friends, the antagonist dude? What's his name?
Oh, Steve Doocy?
Did you hear what he said about DNA?
No.
You better sit down for this because you're going to be stunned. I've told you this before. You're obviously an educated guy. I'm not, but DNA pretty much, you can convict people on it. It stands up in court. It's universally recognized. And when they were trying to question whether they really had Osama or not, Steve Doocy said, and I quote, when they told him, well, they have DNA, he said, are you ready? Oh, that's just a bunch of numbers on a piece of paper.
Well, but then again, that comes from a guy who thinks a great president was a guy who said that the national debt was just a bunch of IOUs in a file cabinet in West Virginia.
I mean...
That's the brain process. I'm certainly not going to call it intellectual or cognitive, but that's the brain process by which the ignorant dismiss the incomprehensible.
I mean, you can't possibly be that much of a whore. I mean, come on. You got to know that statement is ridiculous. Come on. I mean, how can they sit there and say that with a straight face? I mean, let me ask you something, Bob. I'm going to ask you a question. If you decided to stop struggling, you know, like doing what you do, right, and you decided to sell out and said, you know what, I'm going to go right wing and I'm going to be on 500 channels within a year, you could do it, right?
No.
Hello? Well, no, what I'm saying is if you sold out, there would be a market for you, right?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. But you have integrity. I mean, you can't say stuff that's not true. Could you ever possibly... How do these guys get away with saying that stuff? You know, you have integrity. You won't sell out. You won't take... What I'm saying is these guys...
And you know what? Let's be careful about that sellout thing because you and I are both Tony Bourdain fans, right?
Oh, Tony's the man.
Did you read Medium Raw?
I haven't read it yet, but I...
Okay, well, there's a line in there where he says, I used to call people sellouts.
Like that guy that goes bam, all those cooks.
Yeah. But he said I came to realize that. No, it was just that I hadn't. That what he says, I came to realize I'm a sellout too. I just haven't met anybody who has my price. And so I'm careful with the word never, and I'm careful with the, because it's not going to happen. But
yeah, but you know as well as I do.
But no. Let's work this for just a second, Tony. Because if somebody comes and says, Bob, you know, we need you to be a right winger, and we'll give you all the talking points, and plenty of liquor and pills, and you'll never feel a thing.
and
all the Cuban cigars you can smoke,
and one fat check.
And here's what comes of that, Bob. You don't ever have to worry about it raining in your house again, and you don't ever have to worry about cars that die on the side of the road, and you don't ever have to worry about how your children are going to get through college. Because you're going to have enough money to walk up to Yale and say, you want my kids, don't you? And they're going to look at your bank account and go, we don't care if you bring them dribbling oatmeal. They're in.
I mean,
because that's how they operate. And faced with something like that, how in the world would I say no?
Yeah, a lot of wine and pills. Yeah, but you wouldn't be happy. But yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one to go through.
But, so I mean, you know, am I sitting here saying no? I don't know. It's at that point we're haggling about price.
One thing,
you know, do I have to be a birther or can I be a reasonable right winger? And people are probably going to hate me for saying this, but you know. Until you have been taken up in unto, yea, verily, that high mountain and shown the world and all its dominions, Satan, get thee hence, is nothing more than an academic exercise, Tony.
Yeah, one more thing and I'll let you go. Getting back to Osama one last time. You know, it's funny. This has been 24/7, 7 days a week since it happened. You know, it just seems like we forgot about Japan, we forgot about Wisconsin, and we forgot about...
You're absolutely right.
I mean, it just seems like... I wonder what all these politicians and all these news guys are pushing through when we're not paying attention. I mean, I know there's a lot of...
Well, I know what one of them is. Tune in C-SPAN tomorrow and watch the excuses being made for why my family and everybody in Appalachia... for why we don't deserve clean drinking water or air fit to breathe.
Oh yeah, I meant to ask you about that. What do you
round one was Thursday. Round two is tomorrow.
Okay, now what's this about clean water and clean air? I mean, what?
Yeah, it's going to be 2 or 3 hours of excuse making for why the profit of the coal companies is more important than the lives of my family.
Are you going to be able to stop these guys, Bob?
We're never going to quit.
You can,
We're winning. I was looking at a story earlier. One of those kind of hard to get around things. There's a study called Health-Related Quality of Life Among Central Appalachian Residents in Mountaintop Mining Counties. I know, a catchy title, isn't it? That's in the May issue of the American Journal of Public Health. It's authored by a fellow that I like to consider a friend, Dr. Michael Hendricks. He's a co-author of the study, and it's very, very clear. It's unassailable that this stuff is killing us. The nearer you get to a mountaintop removal job, the sicker people are.
Wow. And they're using this Osama story just to push all that through and hide everything, like what's going on with you. Not that you never really got a lot of pressure.
Well, you know, remember if we put up wind turbines and solar panels, the terrorists win.
Remember when I told you how if you had a nuclear power plant or a turbo or a wind turbine, which one would the terrorists attack? the plant.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And if I understood something correctly in the chat room that I saw earlier, Bill Gates came out in favor of nuclear over solar and wind today. Did I read that wrong?
That figures.
Yeah.
How much they paid him for his opinion.
Well, no, he doesn't have to be paid. He just gets to give it no matter how wrong it is. Hey, Tony, I do have to roll, brother.
Take care, boss.
All right, see ya. Bye now. Tony calling from Vegas. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
Oh, hey. Did you see Rachel last night?
No, I did not. I was kind of out of commission.
Well, she was telling about, you know, the laws that they're going to have down here about, you know, the woman, if she's going to get an abortion.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I know the story.
Okay. Well, you heard about what they're doing up in, I think it's South Dakota, either South Dakota or North Dakota. They've got an added thing to it. In fact, they've already passed it. What it is like they've only got one doctor, you know, one place.
Right.
I think he comes like once a week. You heard about that?
Well, I mean, I know that South Dakota has some insane restrictions. I'm just not sure which one you're talking about.
So I think he only is able to come in once a week. So the thing is, of course, then they have to go and get that sonogram, which sounds to me like it'd be kind of dangerous. But anyway, then they have to, the doctor has to read his spiel from the government that's written by politicians. And then she has to wait 72 hours before she can have it done. But the kicker is this. She can't go somewhere, go back home and rest or whatever. She has to go to this place where they're against abortions.
Oh, yeah. And be counseled.
Be educated. And they don't even have anybody yet. They don't have to be licensed.
No. Because anybody is smarter than a pregnant woman. That's, you know, that's the assumption that underlies all of that, Juanita.
But it's like Rachel said, you know, some of these women have to get somebody to babysit. You know, they have other children.
Well, you know,
they have to get off from their job.
If they weren't harlots who wanted abortions, well, they wouldn't be going through all this. They could have just stayed home with the babies and not had their abortion.
They should have been rich. They should have been rich, right?
Right, because you know when you're rich, that means God likes you.
Yeah, and you can have an abortion because for you it's all right.
Right.
But anyway, that's you've heard about that. I don't know if that's what they're planning on doing down here or not, but they don't even have anybody lined up yet for the poor girl to go and.
Yeah, well, and Texas Betsy is pointing out, Juanita, that. It costs the woman more than a week's wages plus a hotel room to stick around the clinic neighborhood. You know, they're going to compel her to stay in one place, but they're not going to cover the cost. So what they're effectively doing is trying to ban abortion by indirect economic means, because now she doesn't just have to cover the cost of the abortion, she has to cover the 72 hours, the 3 days in, or the 3 days in the hotel, plus the food, plus the cost back home, and suddenly an abortion is a $5,000 affair.
Yeah.
See how they work?
It could be. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're really sly, aren't they? Oh, they're so helpful. Oh, they're going to get this government off our back.
I tell you what, I'm glad they're opposed to big government. Except,
well,
you know, when they're creating more of it.
Right. We got another law that they're going to, you know, about your pants being too low.
Oh.
I don't know if that's the whole state or if that's just the school kids. But that's been around for at least 15 years.
Yeah, white folks upset about how other people are dressing.
Well, a lot of white kids dress that way, too. You know.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Texas Betsy pointing out, yeah, it's more than 72 hours because, like you said, Juanita, the doc is only in the clinic one day a week.
Right.
So it's a week in a hotel.
I tell you, it's just, they're definitely trying to get rid of a lot of us. Definitely. But, then other, you know, they've passed that thing about, the drug test if you're on public assistance. And you have to pay for that. It could be anywhere from $10 to $80. And you know what I'm thinking about? A lot of these people that I know that are on, SSI, they, well, even me, I mean, you know, at a certain time of month, I'm out.
Yeah, and it's probably not right at the end of the month either.
Yeah. It, the thing is that I think there's going to be a problem with a lot of these people that's not going to have the money to have it done. What are they going to do? Just
well, then they'll cut them off.
I don't know.
They'll cut them off for because I'm sure that not having the money to pay for the drug test will be proof
Lord
that they...
Mercy,
wait, Juanita. Because this is two catch 22, not to say. Not having the money for the drug test will prove that they have already spent all their money on drugs, and therefore they can be cut off anyway.
And you know,
beautiful, beautiful in its elegance,
I mean,
isn't it?
Their reasoning powers are so wonderful, aren't they? If people don't know what it's like in the real world, like you were talking about getting on the side of the road with an inoperative vehicle and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, I also want to say something about you said Mark, the Marine.
Yes.
I felt like he was talking from his heart.
He was.
And another thing, he was, what was interesting to me was he was looking to you to learn. He said, I'm learning. He said, I'm still learning. And to me, that means a person who's in evolution, you know. And I'm glad that nobody knew me before I evolved out of some of my crazy stuff I was into, including prejudice.
The greatest,
you know,
the greatest single ability that the human animal has, Juanita, is the ability to learn and grow. And in many people, it's the one thing we are not willing or not interested in doing. But you,
right.
You are an enlightened soul. Mark is an enlightened soul.
Right.
You know, Sandra with her constant studies, David with his constant scouring of the web, the news ninjas, Gene and Susan out there looking to know, looking to learn, the whole Horn family that wants not to know less and huddle down in the bunker, but to know more and reach out and embrace more of the world. You know, those are the evolutionary traits that brought us out of the trees.
Right.
Because, you know, if the Republican genes had been in charge, we never would have left the trees.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Or maybe we never would have stopped being scavengers, hunkered down over some half-rotting corpse, trying to win the battle with the buzzards. We went through that phase as proto-human animals, but we got past it because of our questing brain. But the Republican mindset is, what's wrong with being a scavenger?
Yeah.
Three hots and a cot.
They're right. They're right.
You
I've got to tell you something. It's sad, but it's humorous. Just about my, I'm on, what you call Advantage.
Oh, Medicare Advantage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, I called to see if I still had, you know, they changed so much, they took a lot of stuff away, and to see if I still had dental, any kind of dental. They said, this is funny, Bob. They said I could have one tooth filled every 2 years.
Well, golly, that means you only have to, let's see, 32, 64 more years and you'll be right.
Isn't that funny? I couldn't believe it. I call it direct directly where they knew what they were talking about. And I said, are you kidding me? And I didn't know that some of them that pay for you to have your teeth pulled, but they won't pay for dentures.
Right. No dentures. They'll pay for an extraction, but no more than one filling. That's kind of like, well, you know what?
Filling every 2 years.
Yeah, it's kind of like right. We'll buy you a pair of glasses, one lens every 2 years. Till then, you just wear the eye patch and pretend you're a pirate.
That's right.
Golly, Moses, Juanita.
I have something else to say, but I know you're getting close to the.
Yeah, you know what? I've still got the other five lines, and I'm going to try to get through them. Juanita, it's good talking to you, dear.
You too. You take care.
I sure will.
Bye
now. One tooth every 2 years. One tooth every 2 years.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to the program.
I would like to shift the subject a little, just a hair.
Okay, and by the way, you and Jim win tonight. Of course I was wrong. It was not Spear. It was Hess at Spandau.
Yeah. Spear was the architect.
Right. And Jim pointed out, he said, Hess got life, Dönitz got 10 years based on an affidavit from Nimitz, and Spear, just as guilty but educated and affably repented, did 20 years.
Yeah. Anyway, this is just a slight shift based on what Juanita was talking about. There is a website I recently ran across that I would like to recommend to people.
Okie doke.
Especially with the state's piecemeal attempts to dismantle Roe. It's called lifeandlibertyofwomen.org.
Okay.
It is very blunt, very factual website where you can get information from firsthand accounts of why people became abortion providers to debunking of the so-called abortion photos, you know, the aborted fetus photos, and they come right and they go point by point, and they wait, photoshopped, and here's how they did. And the whole just chock full of that. It's really, really good.
Okay. And then the website again, please?
It's lifeandlibertyofwomen.org.
Life and Liberty.
No, life and
Liberty. You're breaking up some, so lifeandlibertyofwomen.org.
No, I'm sorry. It's lifeandlibertyforwomen.org.
Life and Liberty for, and that's F-O-R, not the numeral, right?
Right.
Lifeandlibertyforwomen.org. Okay. Well, Susan, thank you very much. I'm going to try to hit a few more. I appreciate it.
Yeah, there is another thing.
Okay.
The United States has been in the assassination business for a long time.
Well, I saw that note from you. You mean shooting down Yamamoto?
For no other reason, the fact that it would affect Japanese morale.
Yeah, but that was also during a declared war. He wasn't just an enemy combatant, he was an enemy soldier.
It was still in Asia. But that's neither here nor there. The United States and all Western countries it's built in. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it exists.
No, right. It's historically there. Indeed. Thanks, Susan.
Okay. Love to everybody.
All right.
Oh, and,
yes.
Betsy, I've been through the get better.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, let's keep trying. Well, I did have a bunch of them lit up, but no more. It's about 10 minutes before the hour. I told you I wanted to share an email with you. This came in from Ron in Raleigh earlier today. Hey, Bub. All day today, I have been listening to progressive talk show hosts and their respective takes on the Bin Laden hit. I, for one, will not shed any tears for the man. However, the idea being put forth is that this was legal, that justice was served, and that there was no other way to go about this. I believe that you and I share a belief that words have meaning. The president, as well as a great many hosts, are calling this justice. I find this very disturbing. If this was in fact justice, it means that the president or his surrogates can go into any country and kill anyone they chose based on suspicion. No trial or the pretense of due process. This was retribution, and one can argue that it was a legitimate thing to do or not. The president has been rather fast and loose with his pronouncements, such as declaring Bradley Manning a lawbreaker with no trial or hearing, as far as I can tell. So many people are swearing absolute fealty to the Constitution, yet the more they swear, the further we move away from the document. This Constitution is in tatters and being dragged through the muck. This reminds me of the end episode of Star Trek, The Omega Glory. This is the episode with the Coms and Yangs. Kirk is unable to understand the reading of aplebnista because over time it had lost all meaning. That's how I feel about the Constitution. Its meaning has been so distorted by demagogues, it's lost its meaning. The country is in a dangerous place, a tipping point, if you will. I believe that we have stepped over the line to fascism, and without hard work, things will become much worse in the coming years. As the Reverend Wright paraphrased, the chickens will come home to roost, and we, as a country, won't like it one bit. Fascism only became fascism when Mussolini worked out the theory of it and didn't have an empire to prop it up. That's why he got busy trying to reestablish an empire and, in fact, uncovering and excavating a bunch of the old Roman ruins and so forth. That's why he held rallies inside the Colosseum, you know, the Flavian Amphitheater. Empire and fascism go hand in glove. They really, really do. And this in, from another individual, I think this is worthy as well. Just going to take me a minute. Got to scroll down to it. There it is. Response to your torture question. If you bring it up or any part of it on the show, please don't. Yeah. This comes in from Senor Torquemada. Did you notice, by the way, and ancillary to this email, did you notice that we started squawking over the weekend that we, by God, want access to Bin Laden's wives? We want to talk to them. We want to interrogate them. I read that and I thought, well, you know what? If we didn't have a pre-existing history of torture, maybe we could have that conversation. But as long as the rest of the world can't be sure that we won't take Mrs.'s Bin Laden's and put them over a bucket of water and simulate their drowning, then really no country with anything approaching a moral sense. And that question's open on Pakistan. Maybe. I don't know. But no country with any kind of moral sense would turn over someone to us for questioning. Anyway, Senor Torquemada says, I caught a bit of your show yesterday. You asked why the right-wingers seem to be so into torture, and did anyone have any ideas as to why? I've wondered that, too. There probably isn't just one explanation, but I have a question. If a person buys into torture for suspects overseas, why wouldn't that person not buy into using it domestically? Put differently, if you buy into using torture overseas, how are you able to defend not using it domestically? Because if torture is an effective means to get the truth, then why wouldn't you want to use it to get to the truth here too? Isn't truth the foundation of justice? And isn't any tool used to determine the truth just, moral, and opposition to its use unjust because it shields the truth? So if you accept the conclusion that conservatives believe in using torture everywhere, do you have the starting point to understand why? What are the benefits to their agenda, to the exercise of power, to their understanding of justice and right and wrong? Isn't the question, why is the necessity of torture an essential belief of conservatism? It may not be a question of why they are obsessed with it. It may be that acceptance of torture is a condition of being a conservative, a condition precedent. It is one key tenet that most clearly distinguishes them from liberals or secular humanists or rationalists of those who accepted premises and conclusions of the Age of Enlightenment. Truth through force, violence, truth from the application of power. Power is truth, maybe right from might. That is what torture is. Is that what conservatism is? And Senor Torquemada then offers a quote from Ron Suskin's New York Times article about we're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be just left to study what we do. That was from an unnamed aide to that pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout, Bush. It was later attributed to Karl Rove. And thus does Senor Torquemada ask, is torture a tool for an empire to create its own reality? Perhaps that is a question to ponder as we move toward tomorrow's show. I hope you'll join us. It's been a great conversation, and I appreciate it. Me, I personally think we torture over there and not here, because we can be more assured that the people we're torturing over there aren't white. Maybe that's too simple. But then again, we have a disproportionate number of dark-skinned people in our prisons, and they're tortured daily. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for helping out, chipping in. Hopefully we will we'll catch up and get back on track for where we need to be. You know the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Just 14 more people at $10 a piece, and we'll be close to caught up. Well, not by tomorrow. We'd need another six. So 20 more people at $10 a piece, and we're on the right track. Thank you for all you do. All of you. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our recovering blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Reverbo, who, by the way, has a brand new column, the fourth installment of Looking for Work in a Cavalcade of Crazy. If you're keeping up with this, and you should be, you will find it's thought-provoking and damn fun to read at the same time. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy,